Okay.
So three sfasemes today, a little bit quick as it's Rosh Chodesh and everyone wants to get breakfast and Seder. Okay. Number one, Kidoshim Tiyu, Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokechem. This is, I'll post the sfasemes on the Yushir, but if you're just listening, this is Taf Reish Lamed Hey, and a little bit in Taf Reish Lamed Dalet. So we think that we're striving to be Kadosh. Whatever Kedusha is defined as, Kedusha is a higher stage of spirituality that is attained by separating from this world. Kedusha doesn't mean holiness, it means separateness. Hashem is the ultimate separate. We try to separate ourselves, whether it's from Erva, as Rashi says, or just to limit our engagement with the material world, as Ramban says, not just to follow the halacha, but to try to create more of a spiritual place by disengaging a little bit from the physical. So the word ki for us would mean just like Hashem is distant and different, we should try as best as we can to be somewhat disengaged from this world. Kiddushim to you. Ki kadosh ani Hashem elokechem. However, the Medrash, which just so you should know the style of this Vasem, is typically he'll quote one, maybe two Midrashim and talk about them every single year. So you'll see through the 40 years that he wrote the Sefer, the same Medrash being developed, the same Rashi. So this is the Medrash that caught his attention. The Medrash says that Hashem is Marom, V'atam Marom Le'olam Hashem, which means Hashem is high. Romimus Atanohayt Be'olamcha. You deliver elevation to different groups. You elevated the Kohanim, you elevated Malchus Beit David with dynasty, and here's the conclusion that's relevant to Kedoshim. That's why it's in the Medrash in Kedoshim. Nasata Kedusha LeYisrael, Liolam Shinema Kedoshim to you. So you allocated elevated states of existence to each sect of the Jewish people. For the Kohanim, their elevated existences, their Dine Kehuna. For Malchus Beis David, their elevated experiences, Malchus. For Am Yisrael, it's Kedusha. So for the Sfasemis, this isn't just an award or a description, or by the way, this is something that's an opportunity for you. You reach Kedusha by clinging to Hashem. Hashem didn't just award the concept of Kedusha, he's actually the source of Kedusha. And Kedoshim Tiyu, Ki Kadosh, Ani Hashem Elokechem, doesn't mean that just like Hashem is Kadosh, you're Kadosh, but the more that you cling to me, the more Kedusha you'll receive. So this is in sync with classic Hasidus, that clinging to Hashem is a substitute for personal religious achievement. So if I told you to be Kadosh, you'd sit down, you'd read Rashi, you'd read the Ramban, you'd try to be less involved in the affairs of this world, you try to learn more Torah, and you try to fill yourself with the world of Kedusha. But in the Sfas Emes, the way that you achieve Kedusha, because there's only one source of Kedusha, is by breaking down any barriers, ego, distance between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that the Kedusha flows from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So again, the Pasuk says, Kedoshim Tiyo Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokechem. We think it's to build your world of Kedusha just like Hashem is Kadosh. The Medrash says that Hashem awards Kedusha to Am Yisrael. That can mean he awards the opportunity. Excuse me. For the Sfas Emes, he doesn't just award the opportunity, he actually delivers the actual Kedusha the more you cling to Hashem. However, excuse me, Rashi says that Kedoshim Tiyo is best achieved by being careful about erva, about sexual impropriety. Why is that so important? So again, you and I would feel, because that is the most powerful urge and the part of our lives that could anchor you to the material world and not allow you to be spiritual. Right? So we all know that sexual drive is so powerful and so non-spiritual. So that's why Kedushim Tiyur for Rashi means be careful about Arayas. But in the Sfas Emes' world, where the Kedusha is coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're just trying to break down the barriers between yourself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's the difference between being careful about Arayos and being careful about anything else? He doesn't articulate it this clear. I'm asking the question for him. He asks the question implicitly. The answer is as follows, and it's an extremely important switch as to how we view the Isser Erva. How do you and I view the Isser Erva? Hashem created powerful urges, and he wants us to use those urges healthy, and he doesn't want us to use those urges in a toxic way. It's l'mashal, l'adomer, to eating. We need to eat. Eating is pleasurable. Eating is necessary. If we eat improperly, same thing. Sexual interaction is necessary for a healthy marriage, for reproduction. We shouldn't abuse it. For this Sfas Emes, sexual care and sexual adherence has a more cosmic sense. Because there's an order to this world, and the order to the world is based on each species not interacting. That's why elephants don't mate with horses, and cows don't mate with ants, and there's an order to this world, and that order allows Hashem's presence to flow in a natural way, in an aligned way with this world. And for us, our sexual care to keep the order in the world is not just, God forbid, not to crossbreed outside of our species, but even within our species, to be careful to marry and to have sexual interactions in the right way, in the proper way. So if I violate that, I haven't just fallen prey to my desires and to my lusts. If, let's say, I eat something, if I eat a crab or something, but I have dismantled the structure and the hierarchy of the world. The world is meant to be separate and organized, this species, that species, and these are the people you're supposed to marry. These are the people you're not supposed to marry. When you marry the wrong person, it's almost as if you are short-circuiting the structure of the cosmos, the same way you'd realize if an elephant mated with, I don't know, a raccoon or something, you feel like something's really off, and the entire Seder Bria is off. So listen to the language of the Sfas Emes. He says, Ki arayos, he lishmar chok Hashem yisbar. Chok doesn't mean irrational laws, it means the foundations. Those chukas ha-pesach. Lios davuk kol davar bimkomo. That every part of the Bria has to be aligned in its right place. Haroilo. Vizemevi kedusha. Oh, so now that the Bria is set up properly, then Hashem's kedusha can flow. Once you dismantle that proper structure of the Bria, then the kedusha doesn't flow, and Hashem's the only source of kedusha. That's his language in Taf Reish Lamed Dalet. In Taf, a little bit later, in Taf Reish Lamed Hey, Shmiras Arayos, he lishmor chok Hashem yisbarach, kol davar umin limineu. Every species has to have its place. We wouldn't think of Arayos that way, because everyone's a human being, right? It's not like you're short-circuiting the genetic makeup of the universe. Just two human beings. Okay, Hashem has reasons. He doesn't want you to marry this woman. He wants you to marry this woman. He wants you to behave this way, not that way. But according to the Sfas Emes, it has much more of a Kabbalistic structure that by my Chas Hashem being over Issur Arayos, I'm wrecking the order of this universe the same way that crossbreeding would. And therefore, the Kiddush of HaKadosh Baruch Hu can no longer flow in its natural manner. Okay? So that's one concept. Concept number two. Okay? Just very quickly. When the Torah describes the Isurim, HaMasurim Lalev, Isurim, we just read about it in Daf Yomi a couple days ago. That often when Hashem talks about Isur Ona, or Isur Ribis, or things that are that you can cheat your friend without anyone knowing it, Isur Mekach HaMemkar, so it says, V'yoreisim Elokecha, you should fear Hashem, Ani Hashem Elokecha, Mesher Atzeisi, Yitzchem, Yitzchem, V'yoreisim Elokecha, Ani Hashem. So what does Rashi say? That fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be the motivation for adherence in these areas. Because if I don't fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can get away with murder. I can cheat you without you knowing it. I can steal from you without you knowing it. I can commit onah and ribis without you knowing it. I can omit onah stavarim. So whenever that preface is given, v'yoreisim elokecha, it's because yira should be the motivating factor to keep or to avoid averus even when no one will catch you because you have yira shemayim. Well, as I've told you very often in life, motivators can also be consequences. If X motivates Y, or X generates Y, then Y reciprocally also motivates X. So for the Sfas Emes, and he quotes his grandfather, Chiddush Yerim also, not only is Yirah Shamayim the motivator, the cause to keep mitzvahs that no one can catch you on internal mitzvahs, but listen carefully. If you keep internal mitzvahs that no one knows about and it's just you, you will generate Yirah Shamayim. Yirah Shamayim is the cause that will enable you to successfully avoid these internal moral challenges that no one will catch you on. And when you successfully overcome these internal moral struggles, not because you're afraid of someone catching you, not because of your virtue signaling, not because of your profile, when internally you overcome, let's say, oh no, you don't overcharge someone, even though you could have, and the person will never know the difference, then you're building Yirah Shamayim because the experience of avoiding something only because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's command creates submissiveness that generates more Yirah Shamayim. So for Rashi, Yirah Shamayim enables you to avoid these Yisurim. To the Sfas Emes, avoiding these Yisurim augments or multiplies the Yirah Shamayim you feel. Okay? One more Rashi. When the Torah says, Parshas Kedoshim, Rashi and Sfas Emes, Ushmartem eschuk osai, ashe yaseh osah adam b'chai bohem. So it's a very strange Rashi. Maybe we'll talk about it tomorrow. We think that means if you keep Hashem's mitzvahs, v'chai bohem, you'll have a meaningful life, right? The Torah never mentions Olam Haba. V'chai bohem just means this world will be at a better life, with moral abstinence and social regulations and proper politics and proper normal life, normal routine. Rashi says, V'chai bohem be'olam haba. It's a very strange Rashi. That if you keep Hashem's mitzvahs, you get to Olam Haba. Why is Rashi introducing Olam Haba in the middle of nowhere? So maybe we'll talk about that tomorrow. But the Sfas Emes says what Rashi really means is, I'll say it in my own way, then I'll read you the language, is you'll turn this world into the next world. Olam Haba doesn't mean you'll get to the next world, but by your life of Kedusha, you'll bring Hashem's presence into this world in such a clear fashion that the whole world will see Hashem, the whole world will have Gilui Shechina, the whole world will be repaired, Mirtz Hashem, And then seeing Hashem's presence will lead to universal prosperity, and the differences between Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba will begin to fade. Now, does it mean there's no difference between the two? Of course, Olam Hazeh is physical, Olam Haba is purely spiritual, there's no physicality. But what happens in a Hasidic world where Olam Hazeh's physicality is also seen as a portal into spirituality? So even though there are physical manifestations in this world, there's not going to be heads, hair, fingers, and noses in the next world. But what happens when all physical parts of this world are portals to spiritual experience? So you're getting closer to Olam Haba, where everything is a spiritual experience, even though there are different gateways to the spiritual experience, some being physical, some being spiritual. When Rashi says Olam Haba, he means utopia and Olam Hazeh, which is as close to Olam Haba as we'll get without completely eliminating anything physical. Okay? So three very, very interesting svasemeses. Number one, Kedusha can't be achieved without clinging to Hashem. However, you can block the ability to receive Hashem's Kedusha by short-circuiting or wrecking the cosmic order, the natural order. So just like animals can wreck the cosmic order, or you know, by obviously when the DNA and the genetic flow of, from generation to generation is disrupted, so there's something wrong in the flow of the world Hashem created, that is part of Issei Erva. Issei Erva is not just Yosef HaTzadik avoiding his taivos, or you avoiding your taivos. It is a larger, it's a larger sense. You are protecting the structure of the universe that Hashem created. Number two, Yirat Shamayim enables you to avoid Isurim that no one can catch you for. It also generates more Yirat Shamayim, because why did you do it? Because you did it because you fear the Rabbanu Shalom, you submit to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not because of public profile, because people will take notice. Number three, when the Torah says V'chaibrem, Rashi says Olam Haba, Tzvasemes means you'll turn Olam Hazeh into Olam Haba, because once the world sees Hashem so clearly, everyone will see that physical experiences are gateways to spiritual experiences, so there will be a blurring of difference between spiritual and physical, which is as close to Olam Haba as we get in this world. The next world is nothing physical. Everything is purely spiritual, both in the means as well as in the ends. Okay? Have a Chodesh Tov, everyone. Tomorrow, very quick Rashi. Again, after davening, we'll try to make it brief because of Rosh Chodesh.